Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Thank you for the honor of your presence to hear this broadcast today. I am Randy Dean, No BS Bishop. It is an honor for me to share my thoughts, my heart, and the purpose of my life, the end result of 67 years of living that I believe called of God to be a voice for those who want to learn the highest value in life, and that is to be alive to love. All lesser values are potential BS. Let's live our lives alive to love, and nothing less will do. Let's dive right into today. My purpose today is going to be fourfold. I want to talk to you about four purposes, four particular priorities that have to shape our vision and our reach for love. So let's get right to it. I am a person who believes that we were created for response and not reaction. We were created for response, not reaction. Reaction says, hey, you broke my tooth, I'm gonna break your tooth. Reaction says, you stabbed my eye, I'm gonna stab your eye. That's reaction. Response is something altogether higher, more beautiful. And in fact, I believe response is rooted in love. We live a life. When we live a life of love, we will live a life of response and not reaction. Reaction will cause us to be negative. It'll cause us to give the keys to the door of our heart to somebody else. But rather than that, let's lay hold of the keys of our life as being the keys of response. The keys to my life are to respond to all things with love. Love then becomes a life lived for response, not reaction. Reaction comes from externalities, something we saw, something we thought we saw, something we heard, something we thought we heard. But response reaches beyond what we thought we heard, what we thought we saw. Response, because it's rooted in love, wants to know what's really going on here. There's so many ways to illustrate this, but I think a funny or silly way to illustrate it is a story I heard. Oh my goodness, I bet I heard this story. It got to be 40 years ago. Wow. So the story goes like this. A person was driving down a two-lane highway, came up on a sharp curve at highway speeds, when suddenly somebody was coming right at them in their lane, and they swerved just at the last second to avoid a head-on collision. And this person who was in the wrong, on the wrong side of the road, and swerving out of the way of the head-on collision, had their window down and yelled at the person who was doing the right thing. They yelled at them. And they said, hog! And, well, the person driving, minding their own business, doing what they should have been doing in their own lane, reacted. And their reaction was, you pig! And then on they went. Well, so the person who was just minding their own business, driving along on the right side of the road, suddenly came around the curve. And when they did, in the middle of their lane, in the middle of the road, was an enormous hog. So they had to slam on their brakes, swerve to the ditch to miss the hog in the road. The lesson here is that the person who seemed to be driving dangerously and recklessly on the wrong side of the road, coming around that curve, when they cried out hog, they weren't shooting a derivative. They weren't crying out against the person they almost hit. They were warning that person coming up, there's a hog in the road. And then the reaction on the person doing the right thing was just to cry out, you pig. So when I say life was not built for reaction, it's built for response. Love is the taproot. Love is the soil out of which we can respond and not react. Don't be yelling "you pig" at somebody who's just trying to warn you about the hog that is in the road in front of you. There's a lot of ways for you to figure that out. I'll let you fill in the blank for your own life, how you've reacted when you should have responded. But love, when love is the floor upon which you stand, then you're understanding. What's under your standing? If it's love, it will create for you the ability to walk in response and not reaction. Second value that I want to talk to you today about keeping ourselves alive to love is that lovelessness, we need to see lovelessness is a disease. Lovelessness is the disease, but love is always the cure. We're living in a unique time, aren't we? I'm recording this particular program during the COVID-19 quarantine, the pandemic that is sweeping the globe. It's arrested all of our attention. It has caused the medical communities on an international scale to bind together to fight against this common enemy, this common disease that is sweeping the globe, and it's moving at the pace of a lightning storm sweeping across nation after nation after nation. We have discovered that there is a disease that is common to what is causing so much distress all over the world. In the case of our emotional, psychological, and spiritual lives, lovelessness is the disease. Lovelessness is the disease of humankind. And just like the coronavirus is spread by carelessness on our part. It's spread by coughing or sneezing in a wide open space, by being a carrier and spreading it to others. So lovelessness is just like that. It's a virus that gets carried from room to room, from business to business, church to church. I have witnessed, I've been a pastor all of my adult life, and I've witnessed church after church after church that have been infected by the virus of lovelessness, when in reality, love was always the one value that Jesus sought and prayed for his people to be known by. He said, "By this you will be known as my disciples, if you love one another as I have loved you." Love was the one value he wanted for us, and it is the one thing he prayed for. In John, the Gospel of John, he said, "Father, that they would love and be known as that." So when we are being tempted to a lovelessness, we are really falling prey to a disease like a virus that will cause us such grave illness and sickness. So may we treat lovelessness in the same way we're treating the coronavirus. We treat it with a quarantine. We quarantine that sucker down. We're making sure we're going to flatten the curve on this thing. We're going to set aside our normal routines to make sure that we stay healthy and that we don't become carriers. May we all of you listening, carry yourself toward a solid commitment to to cover your mouth when you cough with lovelessness, to make sure that you wash your hands of all need for revenge, to make sure that you have sorted out your priorities toward a life lived for love alone. Love alone is the only value worth everything. So may we treat lovelessness as a disease, and that love, real love, is always the cure. To be vaccinated against the hate, the rejection, the pain, and the sorrow. As I said in the first point today, that we're not created for reaction. May we respond out of the taproot and the soil of love, responding as well as we know how. Don't hear me ever when I'm sharing these programs with you. Don't ever hear me as being somebody who thinks I've got it all worked out, figured out. No. I'm talking out of my own life experience, and my experience continues that I would continue to grow. I'll tell you what I want to be when I grow up. When I grow up, I want to be a lover. I want to be somebody who is known for response and not reaction. I want to be known as the person who wasn't spreading the disease of lovelessness, but I was consistently spreading the cure of love everywhere I went. So as we continue the journey on this physical sickness of COVID-19 and in this year of 2020, may we understand that there has been a history-long disease of lovelessness that is just as deadly, just as infectious, and it has to be addressed with the same kind of care and attention to detail, that we would always be a people that learn that love is the cure for all human diseases. Love is the cure. You know, if I could say it this way too, in terms of the pandemic, really love is the vaccine. COVID-19, love is the vaccine, is something I've been saying now for several days. Love, how do we cure this thing? Well, we cure it by staying 6 feet away from our neighbors so that we can love them and not be a carrier. How do we cure this thing? How do we manage the coronavirus? I'll tell you how we manage it. We manage it by washing our hands. We manage it by wearing a mask. We manage it by making sure that we are obeying those that have a responsibility. Romans 12 talks about obeying those that are in governmental rule. May we learn out of this that there is something valuable and healthy and good about that, because they are seeking to save our lives, and may we each one take up the purpose of love, to be alive to love during this tragic time and this dark time, and may we attack this virus with love. Each one of us can be more and more and more beautifully infected with love to see to it that the coronavirus is defeated. All right, let me move on here. We have to understand, first of all, that we were created for response and not reaction, and that love will keep us in a place of response and not reaction. Secondly, we need to recognize that lovelessness is a disease. It's the thing that has been causing humankind the pain that it has had for centuries and centuries, and that since lovelessness is the disease, love is always the cure. The next thing I want to talk to you about is this, and this one is pretty important in terms of a daily routine, a daily inventory on your part, a daily specific way of treating your life, and that is, if you discover yourself, on this third point, if you discover yourself ever needing to hate anybody, if there's somebody that has been so vicious or perhaps specifically attacking you, specifically speaking things about you that are just not true and they've caused you great harm, and then your reaction, as I said first, we're not created for reaction, but when we are reacting and you find yourself needing to hate anybody, give yourself a daily measure, a daily time of meditation, a daily priority. Set aside time in your day. I know people, I've known people through the years, and I've tried to practice this myself, and that is that they give every day some time, some moment, whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, or an hour, to pray, to meditate and pray, to make sure the day gets anchored in that kind of calm and strength. In this regard, I want to say, give yourself throughout your day to examine the core value to be alive to love. If I feel the need to hate anybody, then I've got to understand that thing in and of itself needs to be attacked within me by love. As I said a moment ago, let love be a vaccine against that disease. If hate is in you somewhere, hate toward a people group, hate in my own definition, I'm sure there's a lot of definitions that are more thorough and better than my own, but to me, hate is the essence of wanting somebody to just go away. Jesus described hate as the root of love. The root of murder. Boy, that's just, that's a terrible mistake. Hate is the root of murder. If you hate anyone, well, then it's the root of wanting them dead. Now, you may not feel like you want somebody dead, but we often hate enough. We often allow ourselves to despise someone enough that we just want them to go away. Go away and never come back. Don't get in my line of sight. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you. I hear your voice. I recognize your presence in the room, and I want you to go away. That's hate. Hate is insidious. Hate is a it can be so easily excused. We will find a dozen reasons to just wish somebody to evaporate, to eviscerate, to go away. May we recognize that, as Jesus said, if you hate anybody, it's right there at the bottom of the pile of murder. So he said, Jesus said, you know, you may never have murdered somebody, but if you hate, well, then that's the root of murder. At a most visceral level, we each one need, again, that vaccine of love. Give yourself daily to some purposed inventory that sees to it that hate is treated as a deadly disease inside of you that is in need of love. Let love be a radiation. Let it be the prescription that you aim in that direction. Many years ago, there was somebody in my life who had done something despicable. I guess I can't even think of a more harsh word for it. It was despicable. I was in shock. In fact, when it first came to my attention that this person admitted that they had done this to me and they stood by what they had done, I was in complete and total shock. My first response was to be angry, and I told them so. They asked how I responded to that. I said, well, I'm just going to tell you, I'm angry. I'm angry that you've treated me like that. So when I examined that whole despicable behavior toward me, I came to believe and came to understand that what I had to do was to find, no matter what else was true, I had to find a way to love that person. Well, over time, and I think it was months, I had to meet with that person over some business transactions that we had entered into together, and I had to sign some papers to end that partnership. And I distinctly remember hearing what I believed to be the voice of God inside of me saying to me, Randy, tell him you love him. Well, you know, the last thing on the planet I wanted to do was to tell this person I love you. First thing I wanted was just for them to go away. Again, that's my definition of hate. I just want you to go away. Never come back. Well, I wrestled around with that one-line communication I felt like I heard from heaven, to tell this person I love you. And when that person did come to my home, actually, and we had papers to sign, I wrestled right up to the last minute. And just before this person left my home after signing papers, I said, hey, wait a minute, before you leave, I got one last thing to say. And this person looked at me as if like, oh boy, here it comes. He's going to unleash on me now. And I said, I just want you to know that no matter what else is true about all of this or not true about all of this, I want you to know that inside of me, I love you. We shook hands and went our ways. That ended that relationship formally and informally. And it wasn't like I had to do anything except just to say those words, I love you. Because at that point, it basically signed the not more than the business, but it signed a spiritual document in my heart that I'm going to be alive for love, and only love is going to define what this whole problem was. And I can tell you now, many, many years later, after all of that was said and done, love defines that for me. I feel the catch in my throat. Love still defines that whole episode for me, and it was excruciatingly painful. But I made a decision that I was going to respond in love, and I'm so grateful for that voice, that sweet voice of God in my heart that said, tell him you love him, and how it set in motion for me. The finality of that was, I love you. All right, I'm going to move on here. So again, the whole idea of love is that we are created for response and not reaction. The whole idea of love is that lovelessness is a disease and that love is the cure. The next part of this is that when we hate, when we feel like we have to hate somebody, then we are in need of an examination of our heart to get rid of that murderous idea of wanting somebody just to go away, and to sustain in our life a determination to be alive to love. Last but not least, I'm going to read a statement to you that I have kept before me in my notes for many, many years about love, and that is this. The strength of love is in the pursuit of the unknown. When we love, we will reach beyond the obvious and fly toward undiscovered dreams. Loving anyone is the magnetic draw beyond all known boundaries. So take the leap of love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, especially for God. But take that leap of love and see what you've been missing. Let me read that for you again, because it's a summation of me and what I want to live up to. And again, hear me when I say, when I talk about all these things, I'm not purporting to you that I've got this all worked out. I'm telling you, these are the priorities that hold me in a rapt attention. Being alive to love holds me in rapt attention. Here it is. The strength of love is the pursuit of the unknown. When we love, when we reach beyond the obvious and fly toward undiscovered dreams, we will find that loving anyone is the magnetic draw beyond all known boundaries. So go ahead, take the leap of love with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, especially for God. Take that leap of love and see what you've been missing. Love will take you on an adventure. A good friend of mine, Nolan McCants from Chicago, he has a wanderlust. He loves to travel, and boy does he. He's a professional photographer and a bishop and just a sweet, great friend of mine. When he talks about his travels, I want to hear, because he loves the places he goes to. And when he goes somewhere, he doesn't just go to the tourist attractions. He goes to the back roads, the back streets, the out of the way places. He grabs pictures of people in their struggles and in their life, in their real life. He grabs photos of people in their poverty, and he looks for people who fight against poverty, but they fight with a love for life. And you'll see some of the most genuine and beautiful smiles in his photos that you've ever dreamed you'd see. See, love is in the pursuit of the unknown. When we love beyond the obvious, we will fly toward undiscovered dreams. There's nothing about love that will be static and stationary and stale. Love will always take you beyond the ordinary. And if you don't feel like let me put it the other way of expressing it. If you feel like you're in a stale, stagnant place, then commit yourself to the pursuit of love. Commit yourself again and again and again to the pursuit of love, so that you can fly beyond the ordinary and discover the dreams of life. We have this one and only life. I do believe that my destination someday will be heaven. I don't believe heaven is my destiny. I believe my destiny is heaven on earth, because I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But yeah, I do believe in a destination of heaven. But you know, when I get to heaven, I don't want heaven to give me a little review of what my life could have been had I chosen love. I don't want to see what I missed because I chose to live less than love. I don't want heaven to review for me, oh my, Randy, you could have had so much heaven on earth if you had chosen love. So as you prioritize yourself toward this next week, and I know, man, we're all in this together. We keep hearing from all sides, television, radio, all sorts of media are telling us, as we face this quarantine during the time of COVID-19, we're all in this together. And I know this next week may have some incredible, painful, crushing vistas that may come our way. But may we each one decide that no matter how deep, deep, deep the crucible of pain may be, may we rise higher and higher and higher than any of the depths of challenge. May we rise higher to the goal of love, because love is the pinnacle of human existence. Love is the mountaintop of what we should always be reaching for. Don't let the valley of the shadow of death define all of your life. Of course we will walk through those valleys. We are given no promises there'll be no valleys. No promise says, in fact, the psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We are given a promise, however, that if we will love, we will have conquered all of the enemies of our life that would have robbed us of the abundance and beauty of what life could have otherwise been. The strength of love is the pursuit of the unknown. And when we love, we will reach beyond the obvious and fly toward undiscovered dreams. As we close today, do with me again as I've asked you to do so many times. I want you to clear your line of sight, clear your hands, make sure you're focused for just one moment. Take a deep breath in and hold it. Pull it in deep. Now exhale. And do it one more time. Pull in deep, a deep breath. And exhale the three words, I love you. And now hopefully somebody near you heard you say that. But if nobody's in the room or nobody's in your car, or nobody's in your exercise room, maybe you heard, I love you. And that's okay, because you need to hear it, even coming from yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself means you've discovered a healthy self-love. You've discovered the ability to love yourself beyond reactions to yourself. And now that you have done that little exercise with me, I want you to just stay with me one more minute or two and hear me when I say, you need to hear these words from me, and I need to give you these words. I am alive to love. I will not live for all the BS notions of less values. I'm alive to love, and I want you to hear these three powerful, life-changing words. I love you. No matter who you are, even though we've never met, and I may never meet you, and I don't know your name, and maybe I do know your name, I want you to know there's somebody on this earth who is committed to the high value, the high principle of love. And whoever you are and wherever you are, I love you. Now may you arise to be alive to love, and may you go forward from here and see to it that somebody somewhere is hearing it consistently coming from your breath, saying those magic words.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.